Have you ever found yourself saying to someone, hold on a minute and look at this from my perspective? You were having a disagreement with them and you felt like you weren't getting through. They were being obstinate. You felt like they weren't prepared to compromise even a little bit. And that's when you said this. That's when you called them to step into your shoes for a moment and try to understand your situation and where you were coming from. And sometimes when we have disagreements, this can make a real difference when one party takes the time to look at the situation from the other party's point of view. Now, generally speaking, our perspective, how we look at the circumstances out there in the world and how we look at the circumstances in our own lives, can significantly affect the way we think about them. It can affect our attitudes, even the way that we feel. Unfortunately, it can be a throwaway line or become a cliche. Someone will say, when referring to what we're going through with the coronavirus pandemic, well, we're not in Afghanistan, or we're not in North Korea. And that is true, and that is a valid point to make. But sometimes this is said to dismiss what people are going through, or to suggest that what they are worrying about is irrelevant or silly or a sign of weakness. If only we had this perspective, right? If only we thought about the people of Afghanistan more, then our problems and our pain would fade away. Now, suffering is still suffering. Problems are still problems. Hardship is still hardship. Just because there are people in other places dealing with more significant issues doesn't mean that our struggles don't matter. Our struggles don't go away simply by comparing them to what's happening to people halfway around the world. But that said, this matter of perspective is very important, and it does make a difference. Something that is quite large can look very small, depending upon your point of view. And in the same way, something very small can appear to be very large. Think of the moon. It's actually very big, but when we look at it in the night sky, it can be the size of a coin or a squash ball. And then we are all aware of the tricks of photography. Small objects can be photographed in such a way to make them look much bigger than they actually are. For example, you can make a toy car look like a life-size car simply by photographing it from the right angle. We understand how perspective works, and I think we understand its impact, even if we've never really thought it through. When it comes to our daily lives, we are greatly helped by having the right perspective, by seeing the difficulties we're experiencing and the challenges we're facing in the right light. And we're also greatly hindered when we don't. When we see our problems as being bigger or more consequential than they really are, we become anxious and discouraged. And the Bible has much to say about this, but I want to focus on just one verse, a verse that I think helps us a great deal. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. The Holy Spirit says via the pen of the Apostle Paul, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I want you to notice two things about this verse. First of all, Paul acknowledges that Christians suffer. He refers to the sufferings of this present time. Now, in context, he's talking about the time in which we are living now, as compared to the time or the season that is to come. That is the age that is ushered in by the return of Christ. Unlike that future time, this present time is marked by suffering. And Paul goes on in the chapter to talk about the fall and about how the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. The Bible scholar Douglas Moo explains it this way: the sufferings of the present time are not only those trials which are endured directly because of confession of Christ, for instance persecution, but encompass the whole gamut of suffering, including such things as illness, bereavement, hunger, financial reversals, and death itself. Now, Paul is real about this point. He doesn't tell Christians that they have to live as though suffering doesn't exist. He doesn't tell Christians that they have to talk themselves into believing that what they're experiencing isn't real or isn't important. Paul acknowledges that Christians suffer, that life is hard. That's the first thing I want you to see in this verse. The second thing to note is that Paul has thought about the situation that Christians are in. He says at the beginning of the verse, "For I reckon." Now, the word reckon means to consider. And in a commercial setting, it means to make an inventory of or to estimate. Paul has thought about two things. He's made an inventory of them in two columns, if you will. In one column, he has listed the sufferings of this present time. And if you know the New Testament, you know that for Paul, that was a fairly extensive list. There were lots of items in that column for sure. And then in the other column, he has listed the glory which shall be revealed in us. That is, the glorious things that God has for Christians. The things he will do for them and in them, and what that glory will be like. Paul has weighed these things up. He's compared the one category of things with the other. The sufferings of this present time versus the glory that shall be revealed in us. And what is his conclusion? There is no comparison. It's no contest. The glory that is to come vastly outweighs the sufferings of this present time. It's not even worth trying to compare the two. The glory is so much greater. The better things that are to come make the sufferings of this present time seem so small and so insignificant. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If I might quote our friend Dr. Moo once more, he says, "A Christian views the suffering of this life in a larger, world-transcending context that, while not alleviating its present intensity, transcends it with the confident expectation that suffering is not the final word. We must," Paul suggests, "weigh suffering in the balance with the glory that is the final state of every believer. And so weighty, so transcendentally wonderful is this glory, that suffering flies into the air as if it had no weight at all." Here is the perspective that makes all the difference. And it comes as we, like Paul, reckon on these things. As we think about the situation that we're in. As we think about the problems we are facing. As we think about our struggles and our pain. And compare all of that to what Jesus has given us right now. And to what he has in store for us in the future. And we need to do our own inventory. The sufferings of this present world versus the glory that shall be revealed in us. And the result will be exactly the same. There is no comparison. The glory wins out every time by an immeasurable margin. Now, when we think about the glory of heaven, when we think about the glory of our bodies being remade into the likeness of Jesus Christ, when we think about the millennial kingdom, when we think about the new heaven and the new earth, when we think about being with Jesus forever in perfect love and fellowship, it doesn't take our pain away. Our struggles don't suddenly disappear, but it does give us hope and joy and peace. The Holy Spirit gives us these things, and with them comes the strength to endure, the strength to be calm within ourselves, the strength to cope with the sufferings of this present time. Do you have the right perspective? By God's grace, I hope you do. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you.